Hello, this is Tanis from Inner Circle Sanctuary, our Mother Coven here in Las Vegas, and it is my good fortune today to be up at the Temple of Sekhmet and Goddess Spirituality to have some time with Candace Ross, the High Priestess of this place, the hardworking High Priestess of this place. So it has been a long time in the making that I got a chance to sit down with you and pick your brain for a little bit.
Oh, well, thank you, Brian.
So I'm very, thank you for taking this time with me. And I guess we can start off kind of at the beginning. We could talk about your history first and maybe eventually how you made your way to the Temple of Sekhmet.
Okay. Well, back in 2004, I picked up the very first issue I'd ever read of Sage Woman magazine, and in the back I found an ad for Priestess, and it turned out to be this temple, and I went, oh, and then that little devil sitting on my shoulder said, you don't know anything about being a priestess. You don't want to move to the desert. So I said, oh, well, okay. So I kind of forgot about it. But during that same time, this was in November 2004, there was a conference out here. And it was called the Gift Economy Conference, and I immediately knew what that was and knew that I wanted to go. So I gave myself a birthday treat by coming out to Las Vegas and attending the conference, which turned out to be put on by Genevieve Vaughn, who is the founder of the temple. So while I was out here, someone mentioned to me that the temple's right up the road, and I thought, well, I'll go check it out. So I drove out before I returned to San Diego that day, and as soon as I walked on the grounds, it was just like someone had hugged me. I just felt so welcomed. And I kind of decided that I wanted to come here on a frequent basis. So for the next 2 years, I came out maybe every 6 months and spent a few days. And then when Ann Key, who had taken the position back in 2004, decided to leave, there was a notice that came out saying that they were once again looking for a priestess. And I remember I opened the email on my computer and I'm reading it, and it was like someone went, bam, on the back of my head, now is the time for you to apply. Because my youngest had graduated from high school, and I was free to do what I wanted to do. So I did apply, and I got the position, and I started here in August of 2007. And it's been humbling, it's been just wonderful, it's been an honor and a privilege, and it's been, you name it, it's happened here.
Well, and we are in December of 2019, so it is quite a lengthy tenure.
Yes, just over 12 years. Yes.
And you've seen the internet age take over and with having a web presence for the Temple of Sekhmet.
Yes.
So how maybe things have changed. Can you talk about changes you've seen?
Well, we had a website. We've revamped it a few times, and we have a Facebook page now, and some people are suggesting we try other avenues, but I think I'm going to leave that to the younger people because I'm not really that internet, you know,
you and me
knowledgeable.
Both.
But yeah, I think some of the changes that I'm familiar with are more of the physical changes. You know, we've done a lot of repair and replace. We added the pavilion. We put in some new fire pits, and I put in some little lily ponds. So it's been more physical labor that I've done here.
Mm-hmm. And you're also very busy ritually. Oh, yes. With all the moon ceremonies. Yes. And Sabbats and hand fastings. Have you ever counted?
We have over 45 events a year.
Wow.
Yeah, scheduled events.
Right,
yes.
Right. And you've always been very gracious in allowing us to perform our Sabbats up here.
Absolutely. We are available to other groups as well. You just have to make a reservation.
Yeah. Fantastic. What, can you tell me about the history of Temple of Sekhmet?
Yes. Well, back in the late 1960s, I guess, Genevieve Vaughn was married to an Italian professor, and they were living in Italy, and they had taken a trip to Egypt. And at the time, they'd been trying to start a family and not having any luck. So on the tour, they went through the Temple of Sekhmet. The guide said Sekhmet is the goddess of fertility, and you can ask her for something, but you have to make a promise to her in return. So Genevieve Vaughn thought, what do I have to lose? So she walked over to the statue and said, Sekhmet, if you bless me with children, I'll build you a temple. And before they left Egypt, she was pregnant with her first of three daughters. So she said she'd always intended to keep her promise, but she didn't want to put the temple just anywhere. She wanted it to be in a special place. So we're going to fast forward now to the late 1980s. Genevieve is right up the road at Mercury, protesting nuclear weapons and the terrible effect it has on women's fertility, and looked around and said, this is where that temple needs to be. So she found someone to find some property for her, and she bought this piece, which we have is 20 acres. And on Columbus Day, 1992, she ceded it in ceremony to the Western Shoshone, who she feels are the true owners of the property. And then we rented it back from them ever since, so that they have some money and they also have use of the land if they care to use it, because we don't use all 20 acres.
Right, yeah. Right. And the areas that you do use, there's a labyrinth,
yes.
There's a permanent maypole, there's the circle area, there's the temple itself, which has a huge, beautiful statue of Sekhmet, which is the second one.
Yes.
Correct?
Yes.
Now that awful event had to be quite traumatic. How did that all transpire?
Oh, I was told that it was one of Anne Key's biggest fears that she was going to go out to the temple in mourning and the statue wasn't going to be there. Fortunately for her, that didn't happen, but
right.
It did happen to me.
Right.
One morning, right after, in fact, it was the day after we'd had our Earth Day celebration, so it was in April, I went out and I turned the corner as I entered the temple and she wasn't there. And I remember going, and then there was a voice above and behind me said, everything's all right. Everything's all right. And I'm thinking, no, it's not. The statue was gone. And we advertised and we were for her return that we would pay, we would pay a reward. We went on the news. We couldn't find her anywhere. And something that's really kind of sad, funny, is we checked with several psychics and said, where has Sekhmet gone? And one would say she's in the east, and another would say, well, no, she's in the west. And so everyone told us a different place where she was. And we ordered a new statue, and the day that it was supposed to be installed, which was August, we were having a ceremony, and someone called me in the morning, and they said, we need to come out and talk to you. And my mind just clicked, and I said, is it about the statue that was stolen? And the fellow said, yes. And I said, well, do you care to tell me more about that? And he said, no, he wanted to come out in person. I said, well, we're having a ritual to install the new statue today. And he said, no, he didn't want to come out that day, but he would come out a few days later. So when they did show up, it was two college boys, nice boys. They were just drunk and silly, I guess. They thought it would be funny. They told us they thought it would be funny to take the statue. So we said, well, we're not going to press charges. We don't see any sense in that, but you cost this community a lot of pain. And they said, we're sorry. And I said, you cost us a lot of money too. And they said, well, we can pay you back. And they did. They came out and they did some work and they paid about half back what we paid for the statue in cash. And they were nice boys. They had just done something really silly. But when we said, well, what happened to the statue? They said, well, we got scared and we broke her up and we put her in dumpsters all over Las Vegas. So that's why she's everywhere.
Right.
So I don't know. Some people say that she was ready to go, that it was a good thing, and that the new statue came in and took her place. And I know it was very traumatic for us at the time. Everyone was so sad, and we were all saying, we know she hasn't gone, but the statue has gone, and there was so much attachment to that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So it was painful, but we were so happy we have the new statue and that things worked out well.
Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful.
Yes,
she's
it
beautiful.
Is. Thank you. Thank
both
you.
Both versions, very beautiful, thank very you. Commanding. I love it. There are other goddesses
yes.
Represented
yes.
in the temple. Can you tell me about them?
Well, Patricia called the temple. Patricia was the second priestess here. Patricia Perlman called the temple of goddess spirituality dedicated to Sekhmet. And in that, we honor all aspects of the feminine divine. And there are other large statues. We've got Madre del Mundo, we've got Kuan Yin, we've got the Virgin of Guadalupe, and then a lot of smaller statues that people have brought as well. So it's not just for Sekhmet, it's mm-hmm. for all goddesses.
And that's following ancient tradition, as far as I've understood from ancient Egypt, that the main deity of a temple often played host to
yes.
other gods and goddesses,
yes.
At least seasonally. But so that's very interesting.
Yeah.
And as well as around the grounds and in the guest house, there are statues of other gods, other
yes.
goddesses.
Yes.
The guest house has a library.
Yes, it does.
And how does that operate?
It's a lending library. You're welcome to come and either read a book in the guest house or take it with you. We ask that you return it when you're done with it. People have mailed them back or brought them back physically. A lot of times people come out and donate books, or they'll do a swap. There, I'm going to take this one, I'm going to leave this one. So it's really very open.
Mm-hmm. Now, how many hand fasting, wedding type mm-hmm. ceremonies do you think you've done over your time here?
Really not all that many, but several dozen. Several dozen.
And you've played host to many annual events too, like the Bone Dance.
Yes.
And what else?
We did Burning Man for a Las Vegas group for quite a few years. And we do for the Peace Walkers. Peace Walkers come annually. They've been going that for as long as we've been here, even before we were here. They've been going from Las Vegas out to the test site once a year, in usually in March or April, right before Easter. And we also host Code Pink. Veterans for Peace have been here. So we're very open.
That's awesome. Now, what would you say an average day for you is like here on this sprawling property with all this stuff going on?
Oh, well, no 2 days are ever alike, but I normally start, I get up very early. I've always been an early morning person, so usually by 6 or 7 at the very latest, I'm out at the temple, you know, lighting a few candles and saying a few prayers and some incense. And then after that, it's like sometimes I go in town for supplies. Sometimes I work on an upcoming ritual. I'll rake leaves. Sometimes I have to chop wood, clean the guest house for people coming. You name it, I do it.
Right. That speaks a lot to the hard work that goes into being a priest or priestess, community leader of virtually any stripe. Yes. But here, where it's so rare that there is pagan real estate, and you're in charge of all of it.
Yeah.
What would you say the most challenging aspect of being the priestess here has been?
Oh, well, I don't know. I just, because I really have enjoyed my work here. I think sometimes it's frustrating when people say they're going to come out and help you on a certain day at a certain time, and then they don't come, because you're counting on that.
Right.
So when they don't do it, then you have to double up on what you were planning to do for that day or that week, and that's been frustrating.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. All in all, it's been good. We have good people that come here. Very few people have caused us problems. We've had a few things, like with the statue being stolen, of course. But overall, we've had very little vandalism or people coming here who shouldn't be here. That's one of the things when I first came here, I thought, well, I'm going to put big signs down by the road announcing this is the temple entrance. And Spirit said, no, don't do that. The people who are supposed to come here find it.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much how we've kept it.
Nice. What about fundraising? Because that has to be a major part.
Well, it wasn't in the beginning, because up until now we've been funded by Genevieve Vaughn almost exclusively. But about 2 years ago, she indicated that she did want us to become self-sufficient, and we have been trying to do that. Unfortunately, at this point, we've only raised maybe 20% of what we need. Now, she's still funding us, but we don't know how much longer that will continue, so there may have to be changes here. I'm sure the temple will always remain open. I don't know that there will always be things happening the way they are specifically now. So there could be some changes. Could be good, could changes, we don't know. But yes, one of the things we'd ask people to do, since we have thousands of visitors every year, is could they sign up for a recurring donation for as little as $10 a month? And if we would need would be 50 to 60 people donating $10 a month to fully fund us, which really isn't a lot for the amount of things that we have here, you know, the temple,
right,
the guest house, the grounds, and that's really not a lot of money.
Right.
And it definitely would help.
And it's easy to do through the Facebook page and the website, and it goes through PayPal,
yes,
correct?
Exactly, yes.
And that's one of the things that we suggest our people, and several of our people are on a monthly plan,
yes,
to donate,
yes,
some.
Your group has been very generous. We thank you.
We have just been so grateful that you've allowed us to have our Sabbats here and use the guest house and the other facilities and stuff. It is a beautiful place and peaceful, and we're very thankful. You also have a priestess on ongoing classes, lessons?
We have an ordination program.
Mm-hmm.
And originally it was open to women only.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things that Spirit directed me to do when I first came here was to expand the circle. And when I first started getting the message to expand the circle, I thought, well, what could that mean? I said, must be the circle in front of the temple. So I went out with my shovel and my rake, and I made this circle in front of the temple about 8 foot wider. And I remember standing up on the little verge there by the temple, you know, rake in one hand, shovel in the other, smiling, all happy with myself. And here came the message again, expand the circle. And I thought, well, what is it that you want then? But eventually I realized what they were saying was, this space should not be just for people who label themselves pagan. It should be open to everyone, all people of good conscience. So I've tried to make it very friendly to everyone. And it's just been something that was, like I said, was put on me, and this is what you should do, and I have tried to do that.
And you have opened the new moon rituals.
That's what I started to tell you. I'm mm-hmm. so sorry. Yes. So we opened the ordination program up to men and women. And then we asked the people, because when I first came here, new moons were women only. And that's just how it had always mm-hmm. been. And people started saying, when I come out, I want to bring my significant other. So we asked the group, would you mind it being men and women? I thought at first, well, we'll have potluck together, and then the women can go over here and have ritual, and the men can go over here and have ritual. And they all decided, no, we want to do it together.
Mm-hmm.
So all of our other events have always been for everyone, but the new moon was women only, and now it is also men and women.
Right.
Yes.
Because you do the 8 Sabbats
yes.
on their actual and traditional days,
yes, we
as
do.
Well as the full moon and new moon
and
rituals.
New moons, yes.
And are there ordination ceremonies for the people
yes.
to get to that point?
We have a program that takes a minimum 1 year to go through. And once the program has been completed, we do ordain.
Very nice.
Yes.
How many, if you can say, how many people are in the program, been ordained?
Not that many have been ordained. I'd say less than 6 have actually completed the program,
mm-hmm.
and we've got about 10 in the program right now.
Mm-hmm.
But it's something that people think they want to do, and they start, and then life happens.
Sure.
So.
Well, I know what you're talking about.
Yes.
What do you see for the future?
Well, I'm seeing myself releasing the reins in the near future and letting someone else take over. But because I, like I said, I've been here over 12 years, I'm 68, I can't physically do the things I used to do. So I'm ready to let someone younger and maybe with new ideas come in.
Mm-hmm. Is that bittersweet for you?
Yes, and on one level, I'm thinking, oh, like the mother hen, oh, but what about this, what about that? And on the other hand, it's like, It's time for me to turn the reins over to someone else. But I will still worry about it.
I'm sure. Well, it is definitely bittersweet for us because
well,
we've really enjoyed, you know, what you've done for us and,
well,
and the spirit of what you've done for the place.
Oh, thank you. Well, I'm sure you will always be welcome here.
Thank you. What do you see for the future of the temple?
Oh, I'm certain it will continue, like I said. And depending on how much we can engage the community to support the temple, we'll determine what programs we keep and what we don't. But we do want to absolutely remain open to the public and to have the rituals.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the other things that we've done, like the ordination program, we have a prison outreach. We've worked with the peace activists. Some of that may have to be cut back, again, depending on how funding goes.
Mm-hmm. Since opening up the temple more to groups other than pagan groups and mm-hmm. stuff, do you see any more increased traffic of people of different faiths or different traditions?
Yes, I think people are starting to realize that this is not just some strange place that, you know, you go after dark to see if anybody's up there doing something weird. People are coming, realizing that we are very open to everything. The temple was founded on the principles of goddess spirituality, peace, and gift economy. And those will remain, I'm sure. So we want to be open for people. We want everyone who comes here to enjoy the peace and just the beauty of the land, as you were saying, and to realize that we are one, all of us.
And a lot of the literature and things posted on the bulletin board definitely make that clear and kind of the attitude and principles of the place.
Absolutely. And one of the things we tell people before we start ritual is our intention is not to convert you to or from anything. We're just here to exchange ideas and enjoy the time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What has been maybe the most gratifying aspect or thing you've done here?
Oh, I don't know, just working with the land. I've really loved that. I feel very close to the land. In fact, I go around telling the plants, now I'm going to be leaving soon. Now you have to take care of yourself now. Because I'm very attached to the land and the plants and just everything, even the rocks.
Mm-hmm. And we are right across the road from what used to be called Indian Springs Air Force Base.
Right.
Now it's Creech Air Force Base,
yes,
where, of course, a lot of Air Force activity happens. Mm-hmm. So with the protests and the walks and stuff, it's an interesting thing to have the military on one side of the highway and this incredibly peaceful place and positive place on the other side of the highway.
Well, again, that was Genevieve Swan, her vision, where she wanted it here because of the Air Force Base and because of the nuclear waste that's up the road and even the men's prison down the road. It was all of this negative energy, and she wanted to put some positive feminine energy to kind of balance things out. Now, for the military base, when Patricia Perlman was here, she came in 1994 and left in 2004. She started a program with the Air Force Base where they would send their assistant chaplains over about once every 4 to 6 weeks. There would be usually 10 people come over. And she would give them a tour and explain paganism to them so that if they were ministering to pagans in the military, they would know what to say and do. Because a lot of people are just totally clueless. They, you know, they believe the hype about devil worship and things
right.
like that. But so that continued from when she was here up until I was here, I think maybe 4 years before they moved their program to Texas. So the assistant chaplains were no longer at that base.
Oh.
But up until then, we had a very good working relationship with them.
The chaplain program was right across the street?
The assistant chaplain program for Creech was there. Yes.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
Yes, and they would train these people how to minister.
Yeah.
And like I said, and then we were the field trip.
Yeah. Very nice. And I've told a lot of pagan friends of mine that when you come out here, I mean, there's obviously a ton of things to do in Las Vegas, but about an hour north of Las Vegas is this great place, Temple of Sekhmet, which, by the way, I took an online Egyptology class mm-hmm. from the University of Manchester in England, and as a part of one of the presentations, they talked a bit about the Temple of Sekhmet here.
Oh, my.
So that was very interesting. I was like, wow, small world.
Yes.
So how long do we have you?
Well, I'm going to retire sometime in 2020. It's
okay.
not decided yet exactly when, but sometime in 2020.
Okay.
Yes.
Are you planning on staying in the area, or are you?
Oh, no. I'm originally from Pennsylvania, and last year I bought a little house in Ohio right across the Pennsylvania state line.
Wow, Western PA.
Yes.
Okay,
yes.
So I've got half of my family lives in Philly, the other half in Harrisburg and the farmlands down there. So are you from Western PA, Pittsburgh area?
I am.
Wow, that's nice. And how long have you been away? I call this Mordor, and I grew up in the Shire. How long have you been away from the Shire?
40-odd years.
Wow.
Yeah, so I decided it was time to go home.
And what brought you out west?
Oh, growing up, everyone wanted to see the golden land, the promised land, California.
Right.
So I moved there, and then I spent some time back in Massachusetts, and I went back to California, and then I came here in 2007.
Wow.
So I moved around a bit, but it's time to go home.
Did you discover paganism and magic, goddess spirituality, before the Temple of Sekhmet? I mean, you were reading Gaia or Sage Woman magazine, so I assume so.
Actually, my entire adult life, I was searching for something I called the holy, and I couldn't find it. And I tried all different religions and all, you know, you name it, I tried it. And I don't know, I danced in the Hare Krishna temple, and you know, I did, you name it, I tried it. And then one day I was standing in a friend's kitchen, and we were not discussing religion, but the phrase Mother of God came into my head, and I thought, well, I've heard that before, but it sounds very different today. Hmm. So I started investigating, and I found the goddess. In fact, the first goddess who came to me was the Virgin of Guadalupe. And so her ceremony just the other day, December 12th, was very special to me.
I'll bet.
Yeah, we celebrated that here in the temple.
Oh, nice.
In her honor, yes.
How many people showed up, would you say?
Oh, it was a light full moon. This time of year, people are very busy, and it is a long drive out to the temple, but we still had a dozen people.
Nice. Yeah. The full moon that I've been to was very nice with the people, the sharing of food, the whole before and during the ritual, and then after, just really fantastic. Yeah. And we suggest it to people a lot.
Oh, thank you.
That, you know, contact our coven, maybe have questions about Wicca or what is there to do in Las Vegas that's pagan, you know. So, well, that's very interesting.
Yeah, thank you.
So, going back to Western PA and dealing with the winters and everything, do you miss it?
I miss my family. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I miss my family. I think that I'll be able to handle the winter because, truthfully, the summers out here have become brutal to me. We don't have air conditioning here.
Oh my gosh.
We have swamp coolers.
Yeah.
And then we have an air conditioner in the bedroom.
Mm-hmm.
And people say, well, you have one in your bedroom. I said, but I don't want to be in my bedroom 24/7.
Right. Right.
And it gets very, very hot.
Yeah.
Swamp coolers are great up to about 90.
Okay.
When it gets up to 110, they're pretty useless.
And then I understand the few days that it rains here, but if it rains, the swamp coolers are less effective.
No, they don't work with humidity at all. Yeah.
Right. So, I mean, there we go. As the priestess of this place, you have your house and the guest house, which has its own lights, kitchen, plumbing, AC or swamp coolers. All of these things that you take care of. I think a lot of times when people think of a high priestess, well, she shows up, she runs a ritual, and people do what she says, or, you know, she teaches and people listen, you know, that kind of stuff. But here, you have to already talk about raking and splitting wood and then dealing with these different buildings with their different upkeep requirements.
It is a lot of physical labor. In fact, it's funny because most people really don't know that I do a lot of what I do. And more than one person has said to me, it must be so nice to live out here and have nothing to do. And I say, that would be nice.
What, they said that?
Yes.
Oh, my God. And is it still, or for at least a time, a cat sanctuary here?
Well, cats come and go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there have always been cats here, and we love them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we open up to them, but they come and go. And I don't know if people pick them up, if the coyote has dinner, but, you know, they just, sometimes there's six, sometimes there's two.
Yeah. And there's some very friendly cats
here.
They come and visit us even after, you know, in the middle of the night when we're packing up to leave.
Right. Well, right now we have Betty and Merlin. They've been here for a number of years,
mm-hmm.
and they're very friendly. Like you say, they are our official greeters.
Yes, yeah. And we've heard the coyotes in the background during some of our Sabbaths, and we hope they stay in the background. Well, very good. Is there, Sasekhem Sahu, what does that mean?
Sasekhem Sahu is Sekhmet's mantra. It means life, breath, power. And we normally say that. I like to tell people before we start ritual what it is because, you know, when we're using it in ritual and they're thinking, what does that mean? So we normally tell them before we start ritual in case anybody's uncomfortable with it.
And it's on some of the signposts, I think, and I've seen it on the website.
Yes.
What do you think Sekhmet has brought to you and can bring to people who come and visit her?
Well, a lot of people have, in my opinion, picked up the patriarchal view of Sekhmet as the goddess of war.
Mm-hmm.
To me, she is not the goddess of war. She is the mother of healing, of protection. She's one of these no-nonsense ladies. She's going to protect her own. And I think just being able to feel that love and that protection and knowing that she's got my back has been wonderful.
Right. And in ancient Egypt, her temples were often places of healing and healers were her disciples.
Absolutely.
And so that sort of energy and that sort of blessing is available for people who come and visit.
Yes, absolutely.
If there's anything like a call you could put out We've talked about donations. What could people do to help the temple thrive and continue on with without problems, without hardships or shortcomings?
Well, I am a strong believer in prayer, so I would welcome their prayers and blessings. Visit us, see what we do, see if it's something that you'd like to get involved with, you know.
Mm-hmm. And for the ordination, so getting involved in the ordination, it's a minimum of a year.
Yes.
What kind of requirements, what kind of things can people expect?
Well, I'm not sure what's going to happen to the program when I leave, but currently the program, like I said, it's you have 12 different lessons, and we ask you to take a month with each lesson. And it's basically pretty basic information, but the idea is to take this and run with it. It's like, look up this information and see where it leads you. So it'd be like planting a tree.
Mm-hmm.
So it's just a little seed, but all of a sudden it's just branching out, and you can go anywhere with this. So that's why we want you to take a month with each of the lessons. And then at the end we have a review, we have a party and an ordination, and it's been very nice. It's been for the people who finish, it's been very nice.
Right. I can imagine, and a great feeling of accomplishment.
Yes.
For them.
Yes.
Do they take and a very active role in the upkeep or running of the temple?
Well, one of the things is, up until now, we haven't charged for the program, but you pay with your participation in ritual, and we ask for 2 hours of service work around the temple grounds and guest house every month. And so it's really, it's like we said, it was gift economy. So we have up till this point, we have not charged. In the future, I don't know what that's going to be like, because we may have to change some things. But now it's been, you are participating in 2 rituals a month, which gives you 6 hours, and a minimum of 2 hours a month working on grounds. So that's another 2. So what you're working up to is 100 hours of service by the end of the program.
Very nice. Yeah. And as you're all over the place. You have a, at the Natural History Museum downtown, you have an exhibit for many years.
Yes. Yeah.
Right?
Well,
at this time of year.
They have a wonderful program every year called A December to Remember, and it's multicultural, and they open it up to every different religion or whatever that month. And they have been very kind to invite us for about the past 6 or 7 years, and we have participated, and it's been wonderful. They also have, they'll ask you if you want to do a class, and we usually do a class on what is Yule, explaining that, or a craft for the kids. Sometimes they have a fashion show, which we haven't participated in, but it sounds very interesting.
Uh-huh.
So it really, it's a wonderful organization, yeah.
And so from, well, let's say like November, mid-November to mid-January?
The end of November until early January, they have the exhibit up in the main hall.
Mm-hmm.
And there's so many different cultures and religions who are there that you can learn a bit about them, and it really is very nice.
And it's been your exhibit has been the Wheel of the Year.
Yes.
Showing.
Yes.
And that's up, is that in there now?
This year they wanted to invite even more people, so normally we had a display case and a tree. This year they said you can have one or the other, so we just decorated a Yule tree.
Oh, very
year.
Nice.
Yes.
Very nice. And our Natural History Museum, by the way, you know, for anybody who doesn't know, has the Tutankhamun exhibit.
Yes.
That was originally in the Luxor, so it has this gigantic Egyptian exhibit.
Yes.
that I just love.
Yeah, it's very, very nice. Yeah.
Well, very good. Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
I don't know. I guess I could tell you what my plans are, my future plans.
Please.
I have always had this connection with peace. Before I came here, I was working with Code Pink. I was the local coordinator in San Diego before I came here. And I had hoped to start a Code Pink chapter, if not in Indian Springs in Las Vegas. But it just hasn't happened.
And what is Code Pink?
Code Pink was Women for Peace and Social Justice, which started right before the Iraq War. But it includes men now as well. And so I've decided that when I go back to my little cold place in Ohio, I'm going to start an organization called the Interfaith Temple of Peace. And it will again be open to everyone. I'm not sure exactly what I'm going to be doing with that yet, but I am setting up I have a Facebook page already. I may have a website as well. But just, I want it to be all very positive, all very loving, and all concentrating on the fact that we're one. We are one.
Very nice. So that sounds very exciting.
Thank you.
Where would it be? Kind of in your area, in Ohio? Is that would have to be a destination kind of thing?
I'm not sure whether it's just going to be a room in my basement or if it's going to be an actual building in the little piece of woods that I have behind the house. At this point, I don't know how far I'll get with it. But I know it's definitely going to be online, and I'll always be open to anyone who wants to fly into Pittsburgh Airport, and I can pick them up and they can come visit me.
Right. Now, speaking about online, what is the website for the Temple of Sekhmet?
It is sekhmettemple.com.
Okay.
Yes.
And you also have a Facebook page.
And that is the Temple of Sekhmet, yes.
Okay. Is there any other way, but any other way people can contact you or find out about the Temple of Sekhmet? I brought the book, Heart of the Sun, that is about Sekhmet and about the temple a lot of, and you are figured in that as well. I think I got that at a bookstore, and I know it's still available online, so if people are interested, they can purchase that.
Yes, absolutely, yeah. In fact, it was put together by our third priestess, Ann Key. She is the one who's authored that book.
Mm-hmm. Very nice.
She and another priestess, Candace Kant, who still works with us here.
Right, I think I saw her here. Gosh, I might have been at my priestess requiem several years ago.
Yes.
This is a gathering place for pagans of all types, as well as being interfaith. Do you see lots of return business and return visitors from days gone past, or somebody who's from Florida that comes to Vegas once a year and visits here as a part of their thing?
Yes. People will say, I've been coming here for 20 years, or like I moved out of state and this is the first time I've been here in 10 years, and, and it happens a lot.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Oh, we're also open to couch surfers, which is an organization where you can travel all over the world and stay at people's homes or like here at the temple, and there's no charge for it. And one of my favorite stories is we had a person come here and they said, we were at a hostel in Austria. And we mentioned that we were coming to the American Southwest, and the people said, oh, you must visit the goddess temple, the Temple of Sekhmet. So I thought that was really very sweet.
That is a wide net.
Yes.
That is a very wide net. Wow, that's
so
awesome.
We are known worldwide, but only by small groups. Mm-hmm. It's not like everybody doesn't know us, but people just about everywhere, there's someone who's heard of us.
Wow, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
I just feel very fortunate for all of us in Las Vegas, especially, to have pagan real estate just outside of town and of this magnitude. There's enough of it that is raw, that is super cool, and then there is enough of it that is fixed up for different things like the labyrinth, like the temple itself, the circle area that we use, as well as having a guest house with plumbing and all this kind of stuff. It's a very rare thing. And it's something that people, I think pagans in general, if they broaden their scope and try and think big, could be the sort of thing people aspire to. What advice might you have for people like that?
Oh, I think probably start small and let it grow as you can afford. Because that's what I'm going to have to do when I go back to Ohio. It's like I have this dream, and I know that it's going to happen, but I just don't know how quickly or how large it'll become. But one of the things I should mention here, too, is we have camping. Now, we don't recommend it in the heat of the summer or the cold of the winter, but spring and fall are very nice here. Mm-hmm. And we have an outdoor shower. We have got 4 porta-potties, and people can make reservations to camp here as well.
See, with all that, you're like, for me, getting up in the morning to go to my one job, and then when I get home and the rest of the day is, with my one coven, it's almost mind-boggling to think of all the hats you wear and all the different tasks you fulfill daily, weekly, monthly, to keep organized.
Yeah.
by itself has got to be a major job.
Well, when I was a Girl Scout, I had a dabbler badge. So it's a little bit here and a little bit there. And so it's like, yes, I do. I'm all over the place, but I've always liked that.
Yeah.
If I had to do just one job, it would probably drive me crazy.
Right, right. And speaking of scouting, haven't there been Spiral Scouts events here? The scouting group for pagan kids
there
or
have
pagan
been
families?
In the past, yes, yes, yeah. And we had Pagan Pride here about 3 or 4 years ago.
Right.
Yes, yeah.
Very cool.
Yes.
It's amazing the amount of things you have done as. In addition to keeping the place up and running, functioning.
Well, thank you very much. It's been a labor of love.
And I really get that from talking to you, like every time I talk to you.
Well, thank you, Brian.
So, thank you very much. Is there anything else you want to add before we sign off?
Oh, just know that, like I said, we're here to share this planet, and I truly believe planet Earth is paradise if we would just get ourselves together and realize that and work together.
Very nice. Very true. Blessed be. Blessed be those that bless us, meaning you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. You are a blessing too.